What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, September 24th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the new face of video games, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
It's me, Greg. I want to start this episode by kicking a hornet's nest.
Oh, are you okay? I love it when he's spicy. Yeah. What stupid Halloween thing are you going to say this time, you punk ass bitch?
I still don't believe Halloween colors are real. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I understand they're real because let me tell you, first of all, I've never gotten so much feedback on an episode before. Like, so many tweets, so many comments, so many people were surprised that I didn't know the Halloween colors. And I've never been so confident in my life that a thing did not matter. Yeah, apparently, people really care about Halloween and Halloween colors. And so, like, respect to y'all. Like, when I said that nobody was a fan of Aiden Pierce, I got maybe two tweets. when I said that I didn't know the Halloween colors, my Twitter was active the whole day.
Yeah, that was it, wild. Man. They had to come for you.
I hope you understand the response.
Exactly. This is a PS I Love You reference. Everybody should go watch that.
The hornet's nest I want to kick, though.
I'm excited.
This morning, I was listening to yesterday's episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. You and Gary Whitta, you guys were talking about Xbox first party and first party lineups in general.
Yeah.
And you made the comment that you think PlayStation still has the better first party studio lineup than Xbox.
Yeah.
How?
How not?
Boom.
Here's the thing.
This is the thing I've been thinking about for 2 days.
I love this question. It's a great topic of conversation. And it could be maybe PS I Love You next week. You know what I mean? But you're just giving away gold here on Games Daily. People are already going to click on this. Xbox memory is expensive. We knew this, right? I think there's an argument to be made either way right now. I don't think that for me, and this is going to sound so harsh, I guess, in terms of getting into this. I don't mean to disparage anyone's work. Obviously, making a video game is incredibly complicated, and getting something published and getting it out is, you know, amazing. So I'm not trying to bag on any studio, but I don't think that quantity necessitates quality. Like, I love State of Decay, but I don't think Undead Labs is somebody on that list where it's like, oh man, PlayStation better look out for them. Maybe down the line. That's the other thing, is that all of this is unproven stuff, I think, as well. Where it's like, we look at there and you're like, the initiative, right? Oh my God, they want to be, Xbox's Sony Santa Monica. That's rad. Like, what the fuck's that game going to be? I have no idea what that game's going to be, right? Like, you go down the line of like compulsion games. Again, like, I loved Contrast and stuff, like in We Happy Few. But like, are we going to sit there and put that up against PlayStation? And again, this isn't sitting there in me telling you that every PlayStation studio is also by saying.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we could go to like the bottom of the list of PlayStation first party studios. Granted, for me personally, I'd probably take the bottom of the list of the PlayStation first party studios over the bottom of the list of Xbox studios. But when you get to like
so you're saying you would take the bottom over of PlayStation's over the bottom of Xboxes.
Yes, but then, what I'm so saying though,
by, is when so, you, no, you excuse me, sir, you're being cross-examined. So then you're by definition, then because you're saying that, you'd be saying you'd take the top Xbox studios over the top PlayStation studios.
Not necessarily. You would walk away from Insomniac.
You would walk away from Sucker Punch. You would walk away from Naughty Dog. You sound like a crazy person.
If I'm comparing
it's
the
just
top
that middle list, section, you'll take the top and you'll take the bottom.
That's my argument. The middle of Xbox, the middle to high tier of Xbox right now is so strong. When you look at Bethesda, which is now like S tier Xbox studio.
You're 100% right. People fucking adored Fallout 76. Fallout 4 won every game of the year award.
You say that like Skyrim isn't one of the biggest games ever released.
Dishonored 2 crushed every sales rec. Come on, dude. I love Bethesda. Mm-hmm. I played Fallout 76. I platinum Fallout 4. I'm not disparaging them. I'm just saying,
Greg,
come on,
stop.
Dude.
You've won. Why are you doing this to him?
We're also talking about 23 Xbox studios versus 13 Sony studios. Like, yes, Naughty Dog, I'll take over any of these studios in any of these categories. But then, when you bring in Bethesda, when you bring in Machine Games, when you bring in Ninja Theory, when you bring in Obsidian, when you bring in Initiative, we don't know yet. But
these are all incredibly talented people in studios. I'm not trying to take that away. I'm not saying any of these people suck or studios suck.
But yeah, like I'm not fully in on one side or the other when it comes to who do I think has the better first party studio lineup. But I can't, for me, I'm at the place where I can't say anymore clearly, like definitively, that PlayStation is the winner. As far as games, yes. Like, if we're talking about games output right now, I'm like, oh yeah, Sony all the way because they have something established. I can't wait to look back at the end of next generation and be like, all right, let's compare that's what these two companies did with their 13 studios and 23 studios and see like what was the output. How did you guys use that? What licensed and partnered games do you guys put out? Like, what do those lineups look like now at the end of next generation? That's what I'm more so curious about. But right now, I'm like, if we're comparing just studios, dude, Xbox is strong.
I mean, you know, you made some good points there, because again, I forgot, of course, the hit after hit of machine games. Wolfenstein Youngblood, man, just a game that I think they broke the IGN scale giving it an 11, because it was just so beloved.
The messy last 2 years of Bethesda, like, I will admit,
what do you mean you can't? Those are the people who are making the games that they just bought. Well, you're like, taking Skyrim. I mean, granted, Todd Howard's still there, but how many other people are?
Fallout 4 was also great. Like, we all act like Fallout 4 was like was trash.
Fallout 4 was an improved Fallout 3, and it just didn't, like, which is
Fallout
great. And I love
the greatest
I
games ever made, though.
I know. Like, I'm not arguing.
You can only improve so much. I really want to say Rare, but I wasn't a Sea of Thieves person. But I mean, I know people love Rare. Like, I don't know. Yeah. There's just a lot on the Microsoft side of things in terms of studios that, like, it's hard for me to compare.
Here's what I'll say is that
once it was free.
Is it free? It's not free.
Game Pass, whatever. Come on, you know.
Oh,
come on.
Here's what I'll say is that I think there's so much potential for Xbox Game Studios, without a doubt. Obviously, you know, I'm making fun of Bethesda's last few things, but like Deathloop, right? Can't wait to play that. Ghostwire Tokyo, stuff like that. Sure, but I mean, I digress. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I am saying lately, you know, this is their things to make my point here. But there is so much potential, and to see what they will do. And I do think the argument will be, the conversation will be much more interesting in 2025, 2026, when you look back at what it is now for these first party lineups. And because I'm not taking away from them, but I do think that right now I would take the quality of PlayStation over the quantity of Xbox. But that is also saying right now, when I look back at what the PlayStation 4 lineup has been, what the PlayStation 5 announced lineup is going to be. But and it's one of the...
Yes. Like, even to talk about the top studios, right? 5 years from now, I think it's going to be really interesting to compare the top five Xbox studios to the top five PlayStation studios.
Sure.
Because we're looking at...
Well, I mean, by your argument, it's going to be really interesting to compare the middle. Because you'll still love PlayStation's top and PlayStation's bottom, but those three studios in the middle, that's what's going to sway you to Xbox.
Well, no, but like, even talking about the top five, right? Like, we're talking about the top five PlayStation studios. We're probably talking about what? Insomniac, Naughty Dog, Sony Santa Monica, Sucker Punch, and insert fifth studio here.
When you get a chance later, Jen, you got to listen to this episode, because I just clowned Blessing the fuck out. You know what I mean? He was trying to make, where are you going? You want to hear this?
but you look at the top five Xbox studios, right? And you have what? The 343 with Halo. You have, I assume, the Gear studio. You have Bethesda Game Studios with Fallout and Skyrim. And then I guess you're picking and choosing which one. Like, Initiative, again, we'll see whenever their game comes out. Yeah. But I'm sure we'll be able to lump them in there whenever their thing does come out, if it's successful. And then let's say Ninja Theory. Like, those top five studios in competition, I think, puts up a fascinating battle against each other. Because
you make a great point, because again, 343's track record with Halo has been just stellar, and then the reaction to their Halo Infinite thing was just, I've never heard fans so talkative about it.
We can take out 343, insert Playground Games. Forza is a force.
Sure, but I mean, like, at that point, like, we're getting into the weeds here. This is just a fun argument to have, and I can't wait to see the future. Instead, let's talk about the present. Guess what? Xbox storage is going to be expensive for next gen. Mafia reviews are in, and Nintendo just surprised launched a Kirby game. It's time to talk about all this and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, your squad up requests, and everything under the Daily Video Game News Sun. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can also get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every day, and you can even get the Patreon-exclusive show, Bless Up, that Blessing puts up each and every month. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can go to you can watch us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Your mic's a little hot. Is there a way you can bring the gain back down?
You'd have. This is that new mic you gave me, and I don't fully understand it.
So there's a button in the middle that you click. The light will move between three spots. You want it on the leftmost spot, okay?
Yeah, you want the microphone button.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
well, if you can look at buttons, I could explain it that way, too.
Or I and you want how many? I got three lights up. You want two lights up?
Let me see.
Oh, yeah, go down to two.
This is two. This is two.
I've put right now, two. I'm at one.
You're at one?
Give me 1 second, actually. Am I fucking this up? Hold on. I was fucking up. Put it back to three. You're good. I'm sorry. That was my fault.
Oh, it's fine. No. Kevin, if you think there's something wrong and you can fix it, I want you to interrupt. And even if it turns out it was something on your end, we fixed it. People were in there. Now, people I had seen in there saying, hey, there was a bit of distortion. Should I go back and clown out Blessing and explain everything, or did they understand it, Kevin?
It clowned me out.
It wasn't until the intro. I mean,
oh, the chat was on my side. Everybody, if you're also watching later, listen later. Well, go to the Twitch archive.
We have a PlayStation audience, of course.
Here's the thing. Like, stop clowning him out so hard. Like, he clearly doesn't know how to handle it. I'm sorry, Bless. Everybody gets one.
You know what, Blessing? I'll tell you what I'll do. And I don't know if it's possible, but to to help you lick your wounds, I'll Uber Eats you some Jollibee today, so you can sit there.
I got heard about it.
First of all, they're on DoorDash.
I had to watch a friend get broken down. You know what I mean?
Housekeeping for you, ladies and gentlemen. I, Gruesome Greggy, am representing the United States of America in WWE 2K Battlegrounds Clash of the Countries. It is a 2-hour video playing WWE Battlegrounds. It's up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Actually, it's a live premiere, so I think it's still going right now. But you can, of course, catch it on demand. Of course, this is a sponsored thing. I don't think they actually said in our contract I should say it on Games Daily or whatever. I'm telling you because I'm so proud of this piece of content to go and be full WWE Greg, Gruesome Greggy, my backyard wrestling persona for an actual WWE property, to cut promos, to wrestle in a video game tournament, and then have on top of that Jerry the King Lawler and Samoa Joe doing commentating, like them really host the entire thing, talking about Gruesome Greggy and making fun of me, and then all this. It's a great show, even if you just want to skim through it just to see what I'm doing over there. That's up, like I said, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. A dream come true for me. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, aka Momo, Tom Bach, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Logitech, Klarna, and HelloFresh, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We got five items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Number one, ladies and gentlemen, we had heard a long time ago how Xbox can have these little GameCube memory cards, as Kevin calls them, that you can put in. They have been revealed to be expensive. This is Tom Warren's entire article at The Verge. If you don't come to Games Daily every day, or maybe haven't seen one in a while, remember, I don't like reading an entire article. I want to make sure we give credit and clicks to people. So if you could today, please head over to The Verge and click on this. But Tom does such a great job of not only giving you the news about this, but then giving you comparison information. I want to do the whole thing. So shout out to Tom Warren at The Verge. The Verge. Go to The Verge. Click on articles at The Verge. Microsoft's first 1 terabyte expandable storage drive for the Xbox Series X/S will be priced at $219.99. Best Buy has started taking pre-orders for the accessory, revealing a final price that had leaked recently. These expandable storage cards slot into the rear of both the Xbox Series X/S to match the internal SSD speed and provide 1 terabyte of extra storage. Microsoft's expandable storage solution is proprietary, and only Seagate has been announced as a manufacturer so far. Microsoft tells me more suppliers and additional sizes will be available in the future, but the $220 price tag will still surprise many potential next-gen Xbox owners. The Xbox Series X ships with 1 terabyte of SSD storage, and the Xbox Series S just 512 gigabytes of storage. Microsoft's pricing means that the $299 Xbox Series X today jumps to nearly $520 if you want to add the additional storage and bring it up to 1.5 terabytes overall. That may not make the larger Series X more, or I'm sorry, that may make the larger Series X more appealing to those who need the storage, particularly as games will start to require it once the enhanced for the Xbox Series X/S. Games for the Xbox Series S can be 30% smaller than the Series X, which will certainly help the storage options. An alternative to this expandable storage is simply using a USB drive to store games when you don't need to play them. If they're not enhanced for Xbox Series X/S, then you'll even be able to run them direct from your USB storage, or you can simply copy them to use your drives as cheaper cold storage. It's difficult to judge the price of these expandable storage cards simply because there aren't enough comparable PCIe 4.0 NVMe SSDs out there. Sony has chosen to allow players to slot their own drives into the PS5, but these drives will need to meet the speed requirements of the internal SSD. These speed requirements mean that the PS5 owners will need the very best PCIe 4.0 NVMe drives that are starting to make their ways to PCs. Samsung announced its 980 Pro earlier this week, which looks like it might be an ideal candidate for the PS5 due to its fast read and write speeds. Samsung's 1 terabyte option for the 980 Pro is priced at $229.99, but Sony has not revealed which drives will be compatible with the PS5. The benefits of Sony's more open approach is that pricing on compatible PCIe 4.0 NVMe SSDs will inevitably drop over time due to competition and lower manufacturing costs. Assuming Sony certifies most high-end drives, there should be lots of options. Microsoft will need more manufacturers producing its expandable Xbox Series X/S storage cards for competition to take place and prices to be lowered over time. It's going to be a waiting game to see exactly how Sony and Microsoft handle expandable storage options in the coming months. But it's clear from Microsoft's pricing that it's not going to be cheap for early adopters. Blessing. A mouthful. Thank you so much, Tom Warren at The Verge, for breaking this down. Because right now there is an Xbox FAQ up on the Xbox Wire page that I started reading and immediately my eyes rolled back in my head and I had no idea what was going on anymore. And I was like, what's the news? And then The Verge stepped in. Thank you. What is your takeaway from this immediately?
So I understood some of those words in Tom Warren's article, and so I appreciate that. But yeah, this is exactly what we expected. Like when Microsoft came out and they were like, hey, yeah, it's going to be proprietary. Like it's the same exact thing as the Vita memory cards, right? Where if they're making them, then yeah, they get to price them and they're going to be priced high because there's absolutely no competition. And so this isn't surprising. A takeaway I got from this article that I didn't necessarily even think about, or not even think about, I didn't know about because I'm not necessarily like deep diving into the SSD storage ecosystem. They mentioned how, like for PS5 owners, even though PS5 owners are going to be able to use non-proprietary SSD like storage units or storage cards or whatever you want to call them, storage drives, they mentioned that, you're still going to need the very best of them in order to work with the PS5, which is still good because over time they're going to drop in price. But
exactly
at the very start of it, you're probably still going to be paying a close price to what you're paying for an Xbox Series X card, probably. And so this is kind of the name of the game. It's unfortunate that they're probably going to be expensive throughout the generation, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's the thing about it for me too, where I think, this is all about you as a gamer. And I know that every one of us is different. For me, as somebody who went all digital a long time ago, I remember, when I got my PlayStation 4 and brought it back from the New York event, the first thing I did was pop out the hard drive and install a new hard drive. So I just started from scratch with, I think it might have been a terabyte that I put in, but this is all outdated information. But let's just say for argument's sake, not that it matters, a terabyte. And I was so hung up that I wanted that and I needed that storage, right? Then you jump to when I got my PlayStation 4 Pros and I've never once done anything to those hard drives. At no point did I think about expanding those hard drives. And I think that's because with internet speeds being what they are, at least in San Francisco, and the way I play games being the way I play games, it's so, I feel there, for me, there's a sense of either failure or completion when I delete a game from my PlayStation, where it is that thing of, all right, cool, I've platinumed it, this is done, the save's been uploaded to the cloud, boom, it's gone, I don't worry about it anymore, or I'm never going to get back to this, or I downloaded this on a whim for PS I Love You, and it's just something to, I like tidying up my PlayStation, and basically, in the same way, I talk about playing open world games and checking boxes for running around and doing quests, I like checking the boxes of deleting the game of, I'm done with this, it's not on my to-do list or worry about it anymore. I feel like even with smaller hard drives, or I guess I shouldn't say that, even with limited hard drives at launch and games being big, like think about it, like Spider-Man for PlayStation 5, Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition drops and I want to play Miles Morales right away. And also I'm going to, want to, even though you're giving me shit about it yesterday, play Spider-Man Remastered. Like if I download both of those right away, how many gigabytes is that eating up on what the 800 some odd of the PlayStation's free space? 850, is that what the PlayStation launches with, I think, free space on the hard drive for that 1 terabyte drive? Like, it starts eating into it, yeah, of course, but even loading up 4 games at, you know, and I'm talking about huge games, right, and this will be later on, that are 100 gigabytes a piece, I would be more akin, I think, to, I just don't swap between games that way, and I know people do. And yeah, it's just,
I mean, I'm definitely one of those people, like, toward the beginning of the generation when I still had 500 gigabytes only on my PS5 or PS4, that was the big issue for me, and I had to delete games constantly, and I couldn't imagine still rocking with that 500 gigabytes today, you know, with how big a game like Red Dead Redemption 2 is, and how big a game like Call of Duty Modern Warfare is, and how much bigger that game continually gets with new updates. Like, I could probably hold it. I could probably hold maybe 2 Call of Duties in my PS4 before it's done, with just like the internal storage. Like, I'm lucky that I got a 4 terabyte external hard drive to plug into it. But yeah, like, video games are only getting bigger and bigger. And even with SSDs making their way into them, like, it seems like games are still pretty huge. Like, we've gotten reports on sizes of certain games, and yeah, like, they're still up there. And so I could see this leading to a case where we're actually spending a lot more money on storage than we expected to, based on when these consoles coming with 1 terabyte, and then also, yeah, like, these SSD cards just costing a lot, because one, you have the proprietary thing with Xbox, and then two, like, even with PS5, like, these SSD cards are going to be expensive no matter what. I imagine, kind of funny.com/you're wrong if you have better info on that for me, but if you're using the best SSD cards for the PS5, then you imagine, then yeah, over the next couple of years, you're going to be paying a comparative price.
Already see that right here, right, with the one that they're eyeballing that is actually $10 more expensive than what you're getting for the Xbox storage stuff. Worth pointing out while I have it too, hey, Ray wrote into You Were Wrong Me, thank you very much. I said 850 gigabytes, and I also said of the 1 terabyte. He's like, you got it wrong. It's 825 gigabytes, and we don't know how big the OS of it is. I thought that was already including the OS, hence bringing it down that way. It's 825 SSD on the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, and fingers crossed that by the time, on the PlayStation side, by the time we start needing external storage, like an SSD card, by that time the price has gone down. But that's still not ideal. Like, that still kind of sucks for us. And I imagine that, yeah, like, we're gonna spend way more money on storage this time around than even this last.
But I mean, do you think you're even? Is it something you're gonna really? I guess, how many huge games are you playing at once that you worry about it, right? And of course, like, again, in this thing, it talks about games for the Xbox Series S being 30% smaller, right? That's from Tom's article. Not that that solves anything if you're getting the X or whatever. I just wonder about it, let alone the fact that you can use the external storage. You can use just a regular USB drive for it if you just don't want to play the game, the new and enhanced games off of it. You play your old shit on it. You could just, anything you're, you know, an older game you're putting in without enhancements, you could put on that.
Kevin, what is next generation about?
Oh, convenience.
And that is a big part of this. It is not convenient to continually delete my games and reinstall my games. There are so many people that, one, have bad internet, but then two, data caps are also a thing. And once I hit that 1,000, yep, for so many people, that becomes an issue, right? You then have to pay Comcast more money, or whoever your internet service provider is, more money. And like, as long as data caps are a thing, this is definitely going to be an issue as far as deleting and reinstalling games.
Totally.
Let alone, yeah, the internet speed factor of it, let alone, yeah, the convenience factor of it. Like, the 4 terabyte external hard drive was such a good investment for me, because I've forgotten about deleting games off my PS4. It's not a thing I've needed to worry about anymore. Like, even when I'm not necessarily a completionist, as I talk about all the time. Like, I don't necessarily care for platinums. There are many times where I'll either beat a game or I'll get partway through a game and I'm like, I'm going to get back to this at a certain point, or I'm going to see how I feel about this in like a few months. Maybe I'll get the DLC and want to platinum it or do whatever with it. And with that, like, I like to just keep games on my system. And if I'm in a situation where I have to then, you know, pick and choose like which games I want to delete, like, I hate having that at the back of my head as something I need to decide all the time. And so, like, yeah, I'm going to want to get a storage unit or a storage card probably as soon as possible. But with the price being what the price is, I'm gonna have to like balance that and figure out, okay, what do I really want to do? Do I want to wait? Do I need a storage card immediately? Like, what does that look like? And I don't think that's necessarily the best thing.
Mm. Fair. I want to look through your wrong because there was a bunch of stuff tossed in here. Nanobiologist reaffirms something that they talked about over here, but he says, of note, about the Xbox proprietary drive, the Xbox Wire reported they are working on adding different manufacturers and sizes eventually to reduce the price. I believe Tom's article said that, but worth repointing out. Eric points out that PlayStation 4 2018 Spider-Man install size was 72.59 gigabytes. Spidey on PS5 will be 55 gigabytes. Difference is 17.59 gigabytes or 24% smaller.
Biggest Demon's Souls. There was one game that I think was like hitting around 70, I feel like. 70 gigs for memory. And if that's the case, like think about how big Starfield's going to be or like how big the next Rockstar game is going to be. Like this is... This is something that's going to last as an issue, you know, as far as games just being big, as far as like the amount of storage games take up being big, like one terabyte doesn't feel like nearly enough anymore.
Demon's Souls is 66 gigs.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
And then a couple of people are calling out this whole, you can transfer your next gen games to the external hard drive, and then when you want to play them, transfer them back to your SD, which will be faster than over the internet, which is true as well.
Fair.
Yeah. But again, Kevin, what's next gen all about?
That's convenience.
Thank you. Number two on the Roper Report, Mafia Definitive Edition reviews are popping up, and we have a roundup right now, or I should say right now, at 9.06 a.m. Pacific time, about an hour and change ago. Metacritic had it at a 79 on PC. I'm going to read from Destructoid, who gave it a 9 over there. Excuse me. Brett McDownsky said, even though it's by the numbers in a lot of regards, Mafia has some undercurrents of forgiveness and mercy that might catch you off guard. Tommy's growth as a character, especially as his priorities shift from the Mafia family to his nuclear family, only accentuates how this lifestyle doesn't necessarily come naturally to him. It's a valuable side plot to the warring gangs, and ends up more important. The biggest knock is that Mafia's story crescendos and caps off too quickly. It's the final act comes out of nowhere and leaves destruction in its wake. All this time, the first Mafia was the best of the trio. It just took a phenomenal effort from Hangar 13 to do it justice with Mafia Definitive Edition. This feels like the rare necessary remake that elevates and rebuilds upon the original. It's truly an offer you can't refuse. Over at IGN, I got an 8.0. Luke Riley wrote, completely rebuilt from the ground up, Mafia Definitive Edition features excellent performances from its new cast, a fantastic driving model, and a beautiful and authentic city oozing with 1930s atmosphere like overfilled cannoli. It's hobbled slightly by the fairly vanilla third-person combat, and it arguably wastes the potential of its entirely overhauled world by not crafting a few new ways to utilize more of it. But it's still a successful rejuvenation of the best story in the series to date, and one that can now stand beside 2016 Mafia 3 as an equal rather than a quaint but crusty ancestor. Kindoffunny.com is not on Metacritic and doesn't score things, but Barrett Courtney has been playing, and he wrote in to say, if Mafia 3 proved that Hangar 13 could make their own great story, that was unfortunately forced into an open world. Mafia Definitive Edition proves they can also take a story from 18 years ago that isn't theirs and still make it engaging and enjoyable in 2020. The presentation, from cinematography to lighting to acting, keeps things feeling fresh in a game that otherwise shows its age. The gameplay is nothing to write home about, parentheses, except for maybe driving around in a bunch of different vehicles to play around with. But the recreated world is very pretty, and if you're looking for a breezy 10-hour game of a pretty good story, or, of course, you're a fan of the original, you should absolutely pick up Mafia this weekend. You can catch R. Barrett Courtney on twitch.tv/sadboybarrett tonight playing it. He'll be answering questions as he goes too. Then on GameSpot, it got a 6.0. Richard Wakeling wrote, there's no denying that Mafia Definitive Edition is a stunning remake when you consider everything that was done to reintroduce the 18-year-old game to a new audience. The changes made to the story, both on the page as it fleshes out more of the cast and in the performance booth, enhance what was already a captivating story, while the revamped visuals breathe new light into the city of Lost Heaven. Unfortunately, the rest of the game falters when you're the one in control. The archaic and repetitive combat hasn't evolved since Mafia 2 was released in 2010, and the years since have dated it even more. Mafia Definitive Edition might be an improvement on the original game, but its modernization stops short of the mark, resulting in an uneven game that squanders its enticing potential. Blessing, Adeoye Jr.
That all sounds good. Like, I'm glad that we're getting remakes more regularly and they're turning out fairly good. I was listening to you guys talk about a Metal Gear Solid remake yesterday, or the rumors of a Metal Gear Solid remake yesterday, and you mentioned that it'd be really awesome if they gave it to Blue Point. And I want to know from you, like, what does a Blue Point Metal Gear Solid remake look like? Because for the last two we've gotten so far, being Demon's Souls and Shadow Colossus, and Demon's Souls I don't know as much about, and so maybe I'm off, but it seems like those are in the bones the same games as their original, but they are coming through and replacing the visual assets and like sprucing up sound design, all this other stuff. But it very much seems like at the bones of the game, like they are the same game as the original. Would you want that exact same thing from Metal Gear Solid, where it is still this top down, controls the same way, feels the same way to play, has the same exact story beats, but the assets are now PS5 quality and it looks beautiful? Do you want them to come from the ground up?
I want it ground up, and I want it to be more like Final Fantasy VII Remake, where I do want it to be, you're going in and what is your vision for this game? Take this classic and make it something contemporary. Because again, if you want what you're talking about, beat for beat, same thing, it feels just like it's been modernized in a way. You know, we already got that with Twin Snakes. Like, Twin Snakes exists and I think it is underappreciated. I would rather see this one come out and be, yeah, it's got the gameplay of Metal Gear Solid 5 in terms of like how Snake controls, but it is funneling you through this story, right, of having to get in there and take down Liquid and what's going on and the army he's assembled, and see what that would look like that way and boss fights around that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, and that's kind of what I want too. Like, my dream would be for them to remake it in the Fox engine, like the same engine as Metal Gear Solid 5, and use those systems, but then inject the story and inject the characters from the first Metal Gear Solid. And that's probably I imagine that's too big of an ask at this point, unless somehow Konami also licenses out the Fox engine. But I'm sure that then that involves like a lot of moving parts in terms of people being familiar with that engine and being able to work with it, and that probably is a longer process in order to get that game out. And all these different things, but man, like, I'd be all about that. Like, my dream would be, honestly, for there to be I don't know if you'd call it Metal Gear Solid 6 or if you just call it Metal Gear, but I want a remake of Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 that bridges the gap between Metal Gear Solid 5 and Metal Gear Solid, if that makes sense. Because it seems like they're kind of building towards something. Or it seemed like Kojima was kind of building towards something with that, especially with like the chapter 3 of Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 5 that got cut off. Yeah. And I want to see that scene all the way through, because there are certain gaps in the story in there, especially when you get into Metal Gear. And I think most of us, even fans of Metal Gear Solid, just haven't played Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2. Like, to see that recreated and see that reinterpreted,
that'd be awesome.
Really cool.
If you did a remake of Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2, yeah, that'd be incredible, right? Because that even as a huge Metal Gear Solid fan who found the series there, when I remember being in high school and being at my friend Faf's house, and he had an NES down in his basement, and he had Metal Gear, and I was like, holy shit, can I borrow this? And he's like, yeah. And I took it home and put it in and started playing it. And I was like, this is like such a callback to a different age of gaming that I was like, I'm not about this. I'd much rather see it. Yeah, go through and see how they actually connect, like you're talking about.
Exactly.
Number three on the Roper Report. Among Us 2 has been canceled so that they can keep working on Among Us 1. This is Jordan Ramey over at GameSpot. Developer Inner Sloth has decided to cancel Among Us 2 and instead focus on expanding the content offered in Among Us. In a blog post, the developer wrote that the decision was made in response to the recent spike in popularity for the party survival game. Quote, all of the content we had planned for Among Us 2 will instead go into Among Us 1, Inner Sloth writes. This is probably the more difficult choice because it means going deep into the core code of the game and reworking several parts of it. We have lots of things planned and we're excited to bring new content to everyone as you continue to enjoy playing, end quote. These content expansions include new servers, colorblind support, a friends/account system, and a new stage, though Inner Sloth added that there are, quote, lots of other things planned too, we just need to prioritize and organize, end quote. Inner Sloth did not provide an exact ETA on when players can expect this new content to arrive, though the developer writes that working on the servers is currently, quote, taking up all development time. The new friend slash account system will also definitely take some time. Though it first released in 2018, Among Us has seen a tremendous rise in players in 2020, likely due to the game's increased popularity on Twitch. According to Sensor Tower, Among Us earned 18.4 million mobile downloads in August, only to be followed by another 41.9 million mobile downloads in September. It shot up the Steam charts as well, alongside larger AAA games that were released more recently. Blessing, you've been playing Among Us. How does this sit with you?
This makes the most sense. I actually kind of I find it a little bit funny because, yeah, I can imagine them work like in the middle of working on Among Us 2. If you I guess before the story, if you logged into Among Us for the first time, it'll pop up with a message saying, hey, like, thanks for your support for Among Us. We're working on Among Us 2 right now. It's coming soon. I imagine like that's probably out of here by now. But yeah, I imagine that they're working on Among Us 2, and out of nowhere, Among Us just rises in popularity and blows up, and they're like, oh, we have we got something. Like, we did not expect our game that we put out 2 years ago to blow up out of nowhere. And it makes the most sense that then cancels the second game, because you kind of have to recontextualize what that's going to look like at that point. Like, you can't just make what you were making before, like, you were making a sequel to a thing that wasn't this huge success.
Yeah.
And so to focus on Among Us 1, really smart, because I think that one, that game could use more maps. It could use more content. Like, it is right now, the game is 3 maps and that's about it. And it feels kind of bare bones in that sense. Like, really fun. I really enjoy 2 of those 3 maps, because Polis or whatever that third map is called is not, I do not like it. But like, you know, being able to inject more content into that, being able to focus on your community, being able to really like hone in on this thing that is having this meteoric rise in success is smart and necessary. And yeah, like, push off Among Us 2. Like, I imagine there's still going to be an Among Us 2 at a certain point. Like, when they say canceled, I imagine they just mean canceled for now while they manage this ship. But whatever Among Us 2 ends up being, I'm sure it's going to be way bigger than what it was going to be if they just continued their path toward making it and putting out in 2021.
100%, yeah. And I think, you know, it's that rare example of lightning in a bottle, right? Where, like, all of a sudden, this completely unlikely story that a game from 2 years ago that came out to no one talking about it is this huge thing that all the big streamers, everybody's playing. Yeah, you need to capitalize on that. And sure, you could make the argument that you could pivot and be like, hey, why don't you come buy the new game we're working on? But in reality, there's still so many people that haven't played Among Us. So why not double down and make this game that is already so popular and already dominating the charts even better, so people stick around longer with it, more people, and keep streaming it, and more people come buy it, and more people keep streaming it.
Have you tried it yet?
I haven't yet. No, I actually have an unread text message from one Bruce Green trying to get me on this weekend to come play, because never invite me anywhere.
It's so, I mean, dude, you can come through. Yeah, if you want to play with me in my group, you're invited. Although I have to talk to them first, make sure that they're cool, you know, with
number blood. 4 on the Roper Report. Hideo Kojima, John Favreau, I have joined the Tribeca Film Festival's new gaming advisory board, among others. This is Jonathan Dornbush at IGN.com. Beyond Tribeca Games, which operates within the yearly Tribeca Film Festival, has announced an expansion to its efforts, including a new advisory board featuring big names from both video games and film, like Hideo Kojima, John Favreau, and more. The Tribeca Film Festival will expand its gaming footprint with the 2021 show, including the first ever Tribeca Games Award for the first ever gaming official selections for the Tribeca Film Festival. The new advisory board includes Nina DaCosta, director of the upcoming Candyman, Jon Favreau, director of Iron Man, The Lion King, and more, Bing Gordon, EA co-founder, Jeff motherfucking Keighley, the Game Awards producer, Hideo Kojima, obviously fucking a legend, Sam Lake, creative director of Controls Studio Remedy Games, and Kiki Wolfkill, the head of Halo Transmedia and Entertainment. The board will help shape Tribeca Games going forward, and its formation comes on the 10th anniversary of the TFF first featuring games in the festival, with the inclusion of LA Noire as the first game to be designated as an official selection. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Shout out to Jeff Keighley and Hideo Kojima and Sam Lake. And all the video game people here.
And Kiki Wolfkill. Yeah.
Yeah, being included in like the same list as like Jon Favreau and Nia DaCosta. Yeah, like, that's really cool, and that's pretty big.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it goes and who wins and who gets nominated and all that stuff, right? Because obviously, I think you look at the gaming people they have on there, that's real deal. And I don't know Jon Favreau or Nia's involvement with video games, how much they play or whatever. But I do know, obviously, they know how to make a film and they know how to tell a story. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see what they come in and how they critique games, you know, next to somebody like Jeff or Hideo. So yeah, we'll look for that in 2021. I should have put that at last because that would have been a good transition, but I didn't. Instead, number five, Kirby Fighters 2 is out now on the Nintendo Switch. Surprise! This is Ryan Gilliam over at Polygon. On Wednesday, Nintendo surprise released Kirby Fighters 2 on Nintendo Switch. The company had accidentally leaked the game on Tuesday. Kirby Fighters 2 stars the king of copies, Kirby, and his unusual frenemies, or his usual frenemies, like King Dedede and Meta Knight. Players battle each other in a variety of different stages, Super Smash Bros. Style, but unlike Nintendo's signature fighting game, Kirby Fighters 2 features health bars instead of percentages. Players can pick from a variety of characters. There are 17 Kirby copies, each featuring a different ability from the game, including the new wrestler Kirby. Players can also select Gooey, Waddle Dee, and others from Kirby lore. And let me tell you, I know my Kirby lore like the back of my hand. I am excited that Gooey and Waddle Dee have been added to this fucking universe. The game features several different modes, including a standard battle mode, as well as an online and local play. Players can battle on teams or solo for numerous stages, some of which feature retro graphics from past Kirby games. Blessing, are you going to play Kirby Fighters 2?
I'm going to try it out. Can I say something that's going to make me look like a dumbass?
Sure.
I just put it together that the same Jon Favreau who directed Iron Man is the same Jon Favreau who played Happy Hogan in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's wild. I did not realize that. I don't know how I didn't realize that, because I knew Jon Favreau played both roles, but sure. I didn't realize that was the same person. Good for him.
Good for him on many levels, but number one being like, hey, we're launching a cinematic universe, and he's like, cool, I'll direct Iron Man, but I don't want to direct like every movie in the universe, but I do want to be in it forever. Yeah. So I'll make myself Tony Stark's bodyguard, Happy Hogan, a very famous Marvel character. That way I will be here forever and ever.
That's brilliant. Hilarious. And I guess I said Happy Hogan from Spider-Man. I know he's in Iron Man also, but I know him from Spider-Man because that's where he was. He was there more often, but that's hilarious. That's awesome. Kirby Fighters 2.
You care?
Not really, but I want to try it out. Like, I watched the trailer and I'm like, oh, this looks like Smash. Cool.
Yeah, it does look like Smash. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for
it looks fun, but I'm sure at a certain point, I'm just going to want to play Smash instead.
Robbie Rob writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can, and says, Dear Greg and Blessing, what is Nintendo on? It doesn't seem to be on planet Earth, because they just released a sequel to Kirby Fighters last night out of nowhere, adding another game to not be in any Nintendo Direct, like Paper Mario and Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Do you think there are any other Nintendo games that could drop at any point this year?
Interesting question, because I still feel like there's not a worthy fall game, like a worthy fall Nintendo game coming. Like, there is Age of Calamity, Hyrule Warriors, which is exciting, but I don't really picture as, hey, this is the big fall game for this fall. We got Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which is also pretty big, but at the same time, I don't really see it as that caliber. Like, I don't see it as a Pokemon. I don't see it as a Mario Odyssey. Like, it doesn't fit that metric to me.
Sure.
I think it's too late for them to announce and release something of that caliber, and so I don't expect that. I do expect, if they do come out and release more games, I do expect them to be along these lines of, hey, let's just put this thing out that is mid-tier to low-tier importance for us as a company. Like, we're just not trying to stay afloat, but we're trying to just stay active right now, but we're not like, you know, going for throw in terms of like,
sure,
the big Nintendo releases. Like, it very much feels like an off time for them, whether that's because of coronavirus or whether that's just because it just tends to be an off time right now for them in their release schedule. Like, who knows? But yeah. I don't necessarily expect anything big to drop. I think it is a fascinating observation that Robbie Rob made, that yeah, like, they're not doing Nintendo Directs traditionally. We got the partner showcase that was that revealed Monster Hunter, which is pretty cool. But you imagine that, like, at a certain point, if you combine all three of those Nintendo Direct partner showcases, like, that could have probably made a traditional Nintendo Direct. And especially if you package in this and Hyrule Warriors into that, that could have made a great fall Nintendo Direct. But there is the theory, I forget if it was Tim or Imran that floated this, but like, the theory that they're not really into doing the directs right now. Like they don't like the amount of expectation that comes with them, which I think there could be validity there.
For me personally, it's a Robbie Rob's question here of like, what are they on? I think that is what this is. And I don't mean to insult Kirby Fighters 2, Paper Mario, or Pikmin 3 Deluxe. But I think if Nintendo was like, we have a Nintendo Direct, people are going to expect Metroid. They are going to expect Breath of the Wild 2. They are going to expect the next entry in the Mario, Odyssey 2 or something. Like, this is a better way of, I think they know Kirby Fighters 2 is not going to appeal to everyone, but they put, like, what are they on? Well, the news still got to us. People still know that game's out there. People, if you're a Kirby fan, like Jared Petty, you're excited for it. You're probably going to pick it up. Like, it's a different way to market, but it's also, do they want to do a direct where everybody walks out going, oh, it was fine, but they didn't have anything big in it. They didn't have anything I cared about in it. No. That's not how they want to do it, Buzz.
Sadly. But I get it.
Believe it or not, it is not over, ladies and gentlemen. Whoa. We have breaking news. Amazon has announced a cloud gaming service called Luna. I originally put Jeff Grubb's breaking tweets in here, but I have an article from The Verge. But for Jeff Grubb, Amazon just announced Luna on its device event stream. Like Prime Video, it'll have gaming channels. You can subscribe to the Ubisoft channel to get its new games as they launch day and date. Its controller works like Stadia's controller, connects to Wi-Fi to go direct to the server. I'm now clicking over to The Verge. Amazon announces new cloud gaming service called Luna. This is Andrew Webster. At its 2020 hardware event today, Amazon announced a cloud gaming platform called Luna. The news isn't too surprising. The service has been rumored since last year, previously codenamed Tempo, while an Amazon-made game controller leaked out just ahead of today's event. It's not clear when Luna will launch widely, but it will initially be available on PC, Mac, Fire TV, iPhone, and iPad via web apps, and an Android version planned after launch. Amazon said that interested users in the U.S. can request early access to the service starting today. There's no word on international availability. The service will be available at an introductory price of $5.99 a month during its early access phase, which gives subscribers the ability to play games across two devices simultaneously and offers 4K 60 frames per second resolution for select titles. Naturally, it will be powered by AWS, Amazon's ubiquitous web platform. Amazon says that more than 100 games will be available at launch, and launch titles include Resident Evil 7, Control, Panzer Dragoon, A Plague Tale: Innocence, The Surge 2, Yooka-Laylee, Grid, Abzu, and Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. Amazon says more titles will be added over time. The company has also partnered with Ubisoft for a specific gaming channel. Here's how Amazon describes it. Players who subscribe to this channel will have access to their favorite Ubisoft titles in up to 4K resolution, mobile gameplay, and access to new titles when the channel launches, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Far Cry 6, and Immortals Fenyx Rising, the same day they release. This is the first of multiple Luna game channels in development where customers can play games from their favorite publishers' genres. Luna will feature Twitch integration. Quote, inside the Luna experience, players will see Twitch streams for games in the service, and from Twitch, they'll be able to instantly start playing Luna games, Amazon says. Games can be played either with a mouse and keyboard or a Bluetooth controller to go along with it. To go along with this, Amazon has announced its own Alexa-enabled Luna controller, which will cost $49.99 during the early access period. Here's how it works. Luna controller is Alexa enabled and connects directly to the cloud to effortlessly control your game, featuring a multiple antenna design that prioritizes uninterrupted Wi-Fi for lower latency gaming. In fact, our testing showed a reduction in round trip latency when playing Luna controller with Cloud Direct versus Luna controller via Bluetooth, with reductions between 17 to 30 milliseconds among PC, Fire TV, and Mac. Because the Luna controller connects directly from cloud servers, players can easily switch between screens, such as the Fire TV to mobile phone, without additional pairing or configuration changes. Amazon has had a curious relationship with gaming over the years, dabbling in various different businesses. In addition to owning the streaming service Twitch, Amazon also develops its own games, including the online shooter Crucible, which had such a poor launch it quickly went back into closed beta. The company is also working on a massively multiplayer game called New World, which was originally slated to debut this summer before being delayed to 2021. Today's news puts Amazon in direct competition with both Google Stadia and Microsoft xCloud in the increasingly crowded gaming space. Of course, this story is still developing, as they point out. I'm sure more will be breaking as we go. First things first, what do you think, Bless?
That's wild. I like how the controller looks. As you've been reading, I've just been staring at this controller. The color scheme is black and purple, which I'm all about.
Oh shit, I didn't even see that. Yeah, okay. Oh,
yeah, Halloween no, colors. Like it.
Hold on, let me throw it up there.
Kevin, how dare you?
I have it up here.
I see it now. Yeah, sorry, I was reading.
This seems. It's cool. This is wild. This seems like really like the Google Stadia is over, right? Like, there's nothing Google Stadia can do to like capture the minds and hearts of the people at this point, because this seems like a way better deal. $6 a month.
Yes.
Like, that seems awesome.
$6 a month total or per channel?
For this early access. For this early access right now is what we got.
Yeah.
So we have to find out in the future how that's going to work with the actual channels.
Yeah. And I'm curious for more details, definitely. That's kind of where I'm sitting at. But, like, being able to launch with more than 100 games available is good, even though the list of games that they gave, all the games there seem kind of old and, like,
of course,
unexciting, which... it's kind of to be expected from an Amazon streaming service, and so I kind of get it. Twitch integration seems interesting. The fact that it's launching on PC, Mac, and iOS, I find to be interesting, because what does that mean for the whole like terms of service thing?
Amazon with iOS has already proven it can make better deals with Apple. Like, they have the whole thing where they only have to pay 15%. For any sales through Apple instead of the 30% everyone else has to pay. So, you know, watch your shit.
Which is like bullshit though, right? Watch like shit. The fact that xCloud can't get on Apple, well, this can.
It's that thing where, again, we're going, this is all breaking news, right? But we're talking about it. And when it said iOS, it mentions iPhone and iOS via web apps. Meaning that, like, this isn't a native app on the iPhone. That's what Stadia and Xbox don't have, is that they're trying to be on. Okay. They want to be on the app store that you click and you download the game xCloud app to your iPhone and you have it. This, I think, is going to be more akin to you open a browser and it knows that you're in your iPhone and it does it that way.
It's just okay. Wild that Microsoft can't figure that out, or Stadia can't figure that out, to like just make it a browser. You know,
maybe they're, I mean, I figure it's just the thing that where they're not satisfied with that. Like, they don't want that solution. They'd rather you be able to download an app. Like, I imagine it's not that, like a we can't thing, but it's like a fuck that thing.
That's a huge,
or maybe, and I guess it's probably that combined with, I imagine they also don't want to give the 30% to Apple.
Oh no, they don't have to then. Because then it's just a browser that you're going on your thing.
Yeah. If you're using the browser, you would get around that. It's the app store that fucks everybody on getting through the other thing.
I mean, I feel like...
But then, like, what's the difference between that and what Fortnite did, where they pointed people to, like, an external thing if they wanted to buy, like, skins?
No. That was the app telling people to go this place to buy the money.
That was inside the app of Fortnite that I was saying that, yeah.
That feels like...
I get that those are different, you know?
I mean, they're different, but it feels very, like... Like, what it, like, yes, technically that's different, but it's like also like, how different is that?
I mean,
so real quick, sorry if I can just jump in here to give a little bit more on this, right? I've registered for early access on this thing and I'm on the Luna page now. When you scroll down, because Kevin, you were like, does that include Ubisoft? Or do we know anything about that? When you scroll down, it says, get started with gaming channels, and they have two different ones. They have Luna Plus, which is the $5.99 version a month that says unlimited hours of play, growing library of games, up to 1080p/60 frames per second, 4K coming soon, stream to two devices at a time, play on PC, Mac, Fire TV, and web apps for iPhone and iPad. Directly next to that, it has Ubisoft, and then it says coming soon, where the price is for Luna for early access pricing per month. Ubisoft just says coming soon, and then says unlimited hours of play, Ultimate Edition with DLC for select titles, up to 1080p, 60 frames per second, 4K coming soon, stream on one device at a time, play on PC, Mac, Fire TV, and web apps for iPhone and iOS.
So is that I can play any of the Ubisoft games that are in this channel for free, or am I paying for them
piecemeal? To me, what that sounds like is you're paying piecemeal, where it's going to be, you have the Luna Plus channel that has all these games, then Ubisoft puts in a channel that you pay for that, then EA will be there, then so on and so on and so on and so on, and it expands out that way where you figure out what your pricing structure is.
Well, like piecemeal as in, like, if I get the Ubisoft channel, do I have to then buy Assassin's Creed on top of that?
No.
Or do I just get Okay, so I just have this access says, to those
yeah, games. I think what it would be is you pay, let's just say $5.99. You pay $5.99 for both Luna Plus and then a separate $5.99. So now we're up to $12 for Ubisoft.
Gotcha.
To get it all there. Because yeah, what when they
interesting
players who subscribe to this channel, the Ubisoft channel, have access to their favorite Ubisoft titles in 4K, blah 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 blah. And access new titles when the channel launches, like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Far Cry 6, and Immortals Fenyx Rising, the same day they release. This is the first of multiple Luna game channels in development where customers can play games from their favorite publishers and genres. What? So yeah, that's a Ubisoft channel you'd pay for on your own, but it would be like Ubisoft Game Pass where everything they're doing apparently is in there.
That's wild. Like, that's pretty wild. My mind is like blown right now. I'm trying to put the pieces together to figure out what is the caveat here. Like, what am I missing here? What's the gotcha here? Like, what's the thing?
Doesn't it freak you guys out a little bit? The first one is unlimited hours of play. Like, it makes me feel like some of the other channels might limit you. Like, let's say you play like the MLB. I don't know.
I mean, I can see that being a case for like, you know, if EA has their own channel and they're like, hey, you know, we want to get people access to our games on the service, but at the same time, we don't want to give people unlimited access to our games. So yeah,
here's the thing though. Here's the thing is, I think I understand. Yes, but I my prediction would be, let's just talk about Luna Plus, which is the one we're talking about, $5.99 a month, unlimited hours of play. I wouldn't be surprised if they did Luna, not minus, but Luna Saver, and it is that for $1.99 a month. You get this thing, but you can only play 2 hours a day. Like, I bet that's how they would break it up to try to give you earlier entry points into it. I don't think you'd see. Can you fucking imagine if it was Luna Plus, unlimited hours of play, Ubisoft, unlimited hours of play, EA Play? All right, you get 3 hours a day. Or you can pay. You can pay as you go if you want. You can pay if you want more, but otherwise, that's all you're getting.
Do you just get access to this for free and then you're just paying for the channels?
I mean, there is no. It doesn't look like there's.
What do you mean, access?
Thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be an Amazon Prime game.
Hold on, everybody's talking once. But Kevin, continue.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I wonder if they're going to, like, I mean, I know it looks like Luna is the Amazon Prime game, you know, instead of Amazon Prime Video. I wonder if they're going to have an avenue for people to put free games on here that we don't have to pay $6. I doubt it. I think that Luna is what it is, and it's $6 a month.
Yeah. So my question is, am I paying a $6 introductory price and then paying another $6 for the Luna channel and the individual channels? Like, is that how? Okay. I'm trying to put the pieces together in my head. I'm trying to read from the verge at the same time. But do you understand what I'm asking here?
No. Say it one more time for me.
So they mentioned an introductory price of $6. Am I paying that and then paying another $6 for the Luna channel on the app?
No, I think the introductory price is to get right, because there, I think all Luna is right now is Luna Plus.
Gotcha.
So I think you're paying $5.99 to get Luna Plus. Otherwise, you have nothing. You'll go to a Luna homepage and maybe they'll have demos or something you can link up your controller to. But I think that's it.
Cool.
It's crazy. Sorry, I'm obviously right now I'm stopping Andy from making a thumbnail about Xbox Series X and having to pivot to this one here, because obviously that's more of it. All right. Yeah, that's crazy. I think we're all getting this breaking news as we go. It's real. Yeah. Amazon's doing their thing over here. That's
a lot of information taken.
It is. I think that, immediately based on what they're saying, more, as we said already, I think it's more attractive than Stadia.
Yes.
I think that, it's a sexier price point. I think it's the fact that the channels is such an interesting idea in such a, you know, it becomes Ubisoft Game Pass. It becomes whoever else enters their Game Pass. Is Microsoft so gung-ho on being everywhere? Do you think they do a channel that is Xbox Game Pass on fucking Luna?
Luna wouldn't allow that though, right? Because at that point, it's like, why get not any other channel? I guess so.
Well, I mean, because there's going to be exclusives, right? Like, Xbox Game Pass will not have, and I'm based on what we know, right? Xbox Game Pass will not have Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Far Cry 6, whatever and ever. Like, I would think that you'd want to be there. And I granted, I guess, they have old Ubisoft games on it and stuff, though.
I guess the question is, like, how much is the overlap between Xbox Game Pass and what ends up being the other channels? Like, because I guess in that case, EA wouldn't have a channel if Xbox Game Pass is on there. Because EA Play is part of Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, how much crossover would there be between the Luna channel and the Xbox Game Pass channel? Like, that'd be a great move, though, for Microsoft to be like, oh, well, but it's also a competitor with xCloud, and it's like, why put Game Pass on this thing if xCloud exists?
Because Xbox wants to be everywhere, right? They want everybody using Game Pass. Not to mention that if they're putting it in there and the channel's Game Pass Ultimate, and it's also giving you access to xCloud, you're like, why am I spending more here by getting less on Luna?
But they wouldn't allow that, though, right? Like, Luna wouldn't allow that.
Well, I mean, I don't think they wouldn't. They wouldn't allow that you have. Yeah, I'm saying that you would pay if you're paying the same for whatever Luna's version of Game Pass is, but it doesn't have the xCloud in it that you should have by Xbox. Xbox would be saying, "Well, why don't you just come over here and do it?" They wouldn't do this. I'm sure Xbox. Yeah, they wouldn't do this, but I just think it's crazy to.
Like, start I think Xbox would want it. I think they would want to do this, but I think like if Xbox is going to have you pay for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, it would have to come with all the different elements that are in Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. I don't think Luna would let that happen. Because for this, I imagine all Luna wants on the subscription side of like the channel side is, hey, you can pay for your channel and you will just get these games from this channel. I don't think Luna's going to be like, hey, get the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate channel, and with that you get xCloud and all this other stuff, because then it's like, all right, we're doing too much. We got to calm down. We got to have some sort of order here. Order of now, operations.
Blessing.
What's up?
Fine. They won't put Xbox Game Pass on there. But let's put on our crazy hats for a second, all right? What if Luna Plus, Ubisoft channel, PlayStation channel?
Explain.
PlayStation says, you know what? We're putting PlayStation Now on this. We're trying to figure out if this is our. We don't want to go through the. I know we have Gaikai. I know we have PlayStation Now, but Amazon's already got this backbone built in. What if we just have them take care of it and we just put our PlayStation thing over there? And as a fuck you to fucking Xbox, they're like, guess what? PlayStation Plus comes for free. If you're a PlayStation Plus member, you can then go to Luna and use the PlayStation Plus channel for free. That's how we're using our cloud stuff to get it around and get you onto the web apps and do all the things.
I think that would be smart, but I also recall, I believe PlayStation has gone to Microsoft for their cloud solution.
They have done that. No, that's 100% correct. That's why the crazy hat was on. And again, they spent how much money on Gaikai to get him in to do PlayStation Now and all this stuff. There's a million other things going on here.
Well, that was like 7 years ago, though. Like, sure. I think at this point, if PlayStation wanted to do it with Gaikai, they'd probably be fine with it.
I put the crazy hat on. I did the thing. I just wanted you to think.
But
about
I appreciate the sentiment, because I think that would be a smart move. Like, I think that would be an awesome thing if they did that.
We'll have to wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. That is still so far away, though. This happening, busing. What's going to happen with the old Luna? I need something more immediate. I need something that can't be held back. I, blessing, am Greg Miller, and I need to tell you about our sponsors. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. Speaking of ads, let's pay the bills. Today's episode is brought to you by Logitech. Logitech has been our go-to for a long time when it comes to gaming headsets. You, of course, know this because at back of the office, what gaming headset do I use? The Pro X with the blue noise-canceling headphone. But I use the wired one. They now have the Pro X wireless light speed gaming headset, and it's a game changer. Based on the award-winning pro gaming headset design that I use at the office, Pro X wireless headset features high-quality materials, advanced communications, precision audio, and total wireless freedom. It's a high-performance Pro X gaming headset with light-speed wireless technology and up to 20 hours of battery life. It also features a detachable pro-grade microphone featuring real-time Blue Voice technology, including passive noise isolation, compressor limiter, and more for clean, professional voice comms. It doesn't stop there, as there's also an advanced Pro G 50mm driver that delivers clear and precise sound imaging with improved bass response. Hear footsteps and environmental cues with clarity to give you the competitive advantage. You can also experience the headset's supreme comfort and durability. For a limited time, Logitech G is giving our listeners 10% off select products at logitechg.com. Use the promo code KFGAMES for 10% off today. That's 10% off select Logitech G products with the promo code KFGAMES. Up next is Klarna. Thanks to Klarna for supporting the Kinda Funny Games daily broadcast. In Sweden, they don't shop, they Klarna. Klarna is a revolutionary new online shopping app from Sweden that allows you to shop thousands of online stores and pay for anything in 4 easy interest-free payments that make shopping smoother. With the Klarna app, you can shop anywhere online from one app. It's easy to use and convenient to browse thousands of online stores from one convenient place. Pay for anything in 4 interest-free payments. Paying after delivery allows you to try before you buy, and you can also report returns directly to the app. Get the best deals with customized price drop alerts on items you've saved to your wish lists. It's always good to shop smarter and save money. Create and share wish lists of items with friends and family from anywhere online. It's fun. It's a fun, easy way to show what kind of products you like. Tim loves Klarna. We've talked about it before. Him and Gia, of course, moved recently. They've been buying their stuff from Klarna because it's easier and Tim can track it all in the app. Klarna is smoother, friendlier, Swedisher way to shop. It's the one-stop shopping app for browsing and buying anything online, all in one app, and allows you to pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments. Download the Klarna app today. That's K-L-A-R-N-A, Klarna, Swedish for shopping. And our final sponsor is HelloFresh. Get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit service. HelloFresh lets you skip the trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. We, of course, love HelloFresh. Tim and Gia have also been using this. Tim keeps talking about these burgers Gia made, but he refuses to share the recipe. I have to subscribe to HelloFresh, I guess, to get it. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow, quick to make, and simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh offers so many delicious options every week to help break you out of your recipe rut and try new things. There's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and kid-friendly recipes. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. Keep your fridge stocked by adding extra proteins or sides like garlic bread to your weekly dinner. Or order. I guess you eat dinner every day. HelloFresh is committed to make fresh, delicious food available more than ever and has taken extra steps to keep its employees and customers safe, including contactless delivery, tamper-proof packaging, and team member wellness checks. Go to HelloFresh.com/games80 to use the code games80 to get a total of $80 off your first month, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions may apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. Remember, that's HelloFresh.com/games80. HelloFresh.com/games80 with the promo code games80 for a total of $80 off your first month. Blessing.
Greg,
if I want to know what games were out in the mom and pop shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Yeah. Oh, Greg, question for you before you get into out today. Would you say Happy Hogan is in Spider-Man Homecoming more or the Iron Man movies more? Like, in terms of appearance.
I mean, like, so here's the question. You mean on screen time or lines of dialogue?
Both.
I would venture to say he has more lines of dialogue in the Spider-Man movies, but he's on screen more in Iron Man movies.
Interesting.
Because okay. Think about Iron Man 1. Like, there's a whole thing where Tony's, like, throwing dice and turns around and, like, slaps Happy. And, like, he's there. He's just not talking.
Gotcha. I see him more as a Spider-Man character than an Iron Man character, even though
he was so important. He was so important to Homecoming, right?
Yeah. I'm having a back and forth with Barrett on Twitter right now.
Do you think he's going to be
during the show? May?
Well, during the ads.
Telling your boss that during your job you're fucking around on Twitter.
I'm not doing anything on the ad during the ads. If you're reading the ad, you're even full screen, you know.
Huh.
Wait, what am I gonna do?
Your boss? Tim's not your boss.
We're all.
I think they're all. I think they're all my bosses.
Isn't that how it works?
No, I mean, they say that.
It's like my two dads. Only one of them. Except there's three of us.
And to be fair, like I'm on Twitter. I'm seeing.
No, I'm definitely Blessing's boss. Hold on a second. Don't I? I feel like I'm talking to you.
I don't know. Like, I'm there. I don't know. The fact that you don't also, know that quickly.
Also, I'm like looking concerned for breaking news. I should put that out. And I did add something to the Slack. And so, hey, I'm doing my job over here.
Do I need to look at it right now for it, or is it for later?
I mean, we could talk about it tomorrow on Games Day.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's a don't not thing.
Breaking news, you know what I mean?
What'd they say?
There's a new don't not studio.
Oh, shit, fuck. I want to hear about that tomorrow on Kinda Funny Games Daily. For now, let's talk about games that are out today. Little Big Workshop on Xbox One. I think it's like Jenga, right? So Ginga Force on PS4. Jenga?
That was close enough.
Yeah, Ginga. Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 Complete Edition, Switch and PC. Tears of Avia, Xbox One, PC and Mac. Gothic Murder, Adventure That Changes Destiny on PS4, Switch, PC and Mac. Going Under, PS4, Xbox One, Switch and PC. A game I recommend. A great dungeon crawler I've been playing on PS4. M Bracelet, PC, Serious Sam 4 on PC and Stadia, Done Greed on PS4, Switch, Tennis World Tour on PC, Lost Ember on Switch, Bio Entity on PC and Mac, Tennis World Tour 2 on PC, The Chess Variants Club on PC and Mac, Super Monk War Z on PC, Rip Them Off on PC and Mac, Gone Viral on PC, Circadian City on PC and Mac, Crossbow Blood Knight on PC, Skate Forever on PC, Going Under, Switch and PC again, War Tile on Switch, Big Bobby Car, The Big Race on Switch, Gothic Murder, why are these getting in here so much? Alluris on Switch, Rivals of Aether on Switch, Breakpoint on Switch, Retro Classics with an X Collection Number 1, Data East on Switch, Great Conqueror Rome on Switch, Secrets of Me on Switch, Micro Pico Racers Switch, My Diggy Doggy 2 on Switch. Come on, how are some of these games real? And then I got some updates for you. It's Mobile Operations Week in GTA Online, which means a GTA 100K bonus for players completing any mobile operation mission, plus double rewards across all mobile operation missions, gun running, cell missions, and in the survival series. Yeah, okay. PUBG Season 8 is coming to an end with Update 8.3 now available on console and Stadia Live servers. Right before we went live, Avengers put up a blog post talking about Patch V1.3.1. It's rolling out right now and finally lets Captain America smash through doors. This is a huge update for me. Villain sectors are obtainable again, mission chains, completion fix, weekly challenge fixes, and more. They also announced that they are in the final stages of putting in these following features. They're not now, but they will be soon in a new patch. Subtitle size options, high contrast mode, a ping system for Warzone, and a toggle option for hero icons to remain always visible, which is some fucking awesome shit we need for that there, Avengers. New dates for you. Aquanox Deep Descent comes to PC October 16th. Brigandine, The Legend of Runeterra is on PlayStation 4 December 10th worldwide. Endless Memories comes to PC October 19th. Kevin at GameSpot reports another bug off is just around the corner in Animal Crossing New Horizons, the bug catching competition for the Northern Hemisphere players this Saturday, September 26th. And this week's event is notable because it marks the final bug off of the year for the Northern Hemisphere. That means, ladies and gentlemen, we're almost time for that fall update. Give me my Halloween. Give me my pumpkins. Let's go. Maybe next week, Bus. I'm excited. I Am Dead will hit the Nintendo Switch and PC on October 8th. Sears Island or Isle and Along the Edge comes to Nintendo Switch October 15th. Nier Replicant version 1.22474487139 arrives April 23rd, 2021. And deal of the day for you, Doom Eternal is coming to Xbox Game Pass for console on October 1st. It will be later on PC.
Whew. I didn't mention id Software in our argument at the top of the show.
Again, just Doom Eternal on everybody's short list for Game of the Year, that Doom Eternal. People just couldn't stop talking
about
it. Doom
2016 is one of the best shooters, and I'll include Doom Eternal in that. Doom Eternal in 2016 are some of the best shooters of the generation. Doom better than Killzone.
Yeah, that's why we don't make Killzone anymore.
How dare you? What are you saying right
it's
now?
It's time
what
to squat up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Mark Freeman needs help on his Zoom call for the community. You can go to his Twitter, @theindieboy1. Mark writes, the community Zoom this week will be 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Saturday, but it will always, as always, go much longer. Nearly hit 12 hours last week. You can join whenever, even if it's just for 5 minutes. Everyone is welcome and it is always a fun time hanging out with the best friends. As usual, all the details are on my Twitter, @theindieboy1. That's the numeral one in a pinned tweet. Hope to see you there. If you want to go hang out with some best friends in a Zoom call, hit them up @theindieboy1 this Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific. Before we get into the final closeout stuff, it's important to tell you, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special afternoon of programming here, or maybe for us before noon, for you afternoon. Conjuring and Review episode 1 is up on youtube.com/kindoffunny. That had to be pre-recorded, so that is live right now for you to go watch. But rather than rest on our laurels and do nothing after Kind of Funny Games Daily, we are going to film the next episodes of Greg Miller Plays Halo for the first time as we try to close out this Halo journey for me. So it'll be me, Tim, and Andy in a little bit when we're done here. So give us a second, obviously, to switch stuff over. I have to make sure the old Xbox can kick off the dust and get in there, get my OBS set up, all that jazz. But we'll be there soon enough. Now, let's check in with You're Wrong. Remember, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Now, let's see what I got here, because there's what I like to call a lot of fucking editorializing on here. I love this one. So I suppose, no Dan Rolls, that's not a fact, is it? You can't come in here supposing things. Jesus. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
God, what's this now? Okay, this one counts. Kebabs writes in and says, slight breaking news, Forza Horizon 3, which is being delisted from the Xbox One store on the 27th, will be available on the Series X/S via backwards compatibility. All right.
Yeah, I don't like that they're delisting that game.
Too bad. They always delist them. You know what I mean?
But why? Like, it has its own map. Like, it's its own game. It's not like MLB or something, or it's not like a sports game where it's the same game. It's a different game than Forza Horizon 3. Or Forza Horizon 4, I should say. Like, why'd you list it? I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking around here because a lot of things in here, like, people are like, you're wronging things that could possibly be put into You're Wrong. It's like, I don't even know how that works. You know what I mean? People not, again, You're Wrong isn't meant for you to be part of the show. Like, hey, I want to write in with my thought about this. No. Okay? You understand the rules.
Missing Link 000 here says, Bless predicted in the 2020 Predictions Games cast that either Amazon or Facebook will launch a game streaming service to compete with Stadia/xCloud, with Amazon being most likely. With the announcement of Luna, that's one point to Blessing. Thank you.
I don't believe it. I refuse to believe it.
Didn't you win that already? Because like you got a bunch of bullshit fake points?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, okay.
I got my GTA prediction right. When are we going to admit that I'm clairvoyant and I can just predict the video game future?
A lot of people in the comments today were talking
about. Where the fuck were you on 2020 in general?
Wait, you both were talking at the same time. What?
Do your Nostradamus powers only apply to video games? Because, man, we could have used the heads up on fucking 2020 only, here, buddy.
It's only video games.
Oh, my goodness. See, now here's. So there's. I found through. And I won't lie, ladies and gentlemen. We love and appreciate you. You're the best community in the world. I had to wade through a river of shit to find anything worthwhile than You're Wrong, but I got two nuggets for you, all right? Oh, there. Nanobiologist says, fun fact, Luna already has 20-plus more games than Stadia at this point. Not a You're Wrong, but I'll accept it. Then this one from Charles Jacobs, just throwing this idea out there, Amazon's Prime Gaming could fold in a free Luna title of choice a month. That's another great way to get people to use it. But more importantly, an antibiologist has even more information about the Avengers, right? They respond, due to the villain sector issue that prevented players from obtaining resources, we're granting 250 Polycoron and 500 Uru to all players. This can be obtained until October 1st at 10 a.m. by viewing any challenge card.
I didn't understand any of the words.
Oh, it's going to be a good weekend for Black Widow. Oh, man, Fussing. Her major artifact is going to get leveled up. Ladies and gentlemen, that's this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Like I said, we're streaming some games after this. You should go watch Conjuring and Review Episode 1, youtube.com/kindoffunny. It's got James and Elise Willems and me. Maybe I did something weird for this one. You'll see. You got to check it out. Tomorrow, your hosts for Kinda Funny Games Daily are going to be the one and only Blessing Adeoye Jr. and Tim motherfucking Geddes. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, we got a post show for patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so this isn't over just yet. But if you don't want to join us, thank you for watching on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, Rooster Teeth Podcast Services, or twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. I hope you'll consider coming over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, kick us a few bucks, be part of the show, and watch this post show. If not, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.